Today is Saturday, April 15th, 2017, and this...
There's a huge opportunity in the world of magic in Las Vegas, and I intend to create an extremely entertaining, family-friendly magic show.
It's 500 by Midnight, the original Las Vegas podcast, show number 596.
Las Vegas!
I hope that you're having an enjoyable stay here in Las Vegas, and also hope that you have been fortunate. I do wish that for you.
We're gonna give Daddy the Rain Man suite. Do you think that? We're going to Vegas, Mike.
Vegas! You think we get there by midnight?
Money, we're gonna be up 500 by midnight.
Yeah, Vegas!
Vegas, baby, Vegas!
Las Vegas.
Hello, everybody. This is Tim.
And this is Michelle.
Welcome to 500 by Midnight. How are you this evening?
I am well. How are you?
I'm fantastic. Thank you for asking. Got some Vegas stuff to talk about.
Oh, really?
Yep.
Okay.
And that's about it. We've got some phone calls from our listeners. We're going to wrap up talking about our March trip. Action-packed podcast, if I do say so, which I just did. All right. Before we get to the news, this podcast is supported by more than 175 listener patrons, our beloved listeners, our beloved Patreon patrons. They include Robert Kagi, The Nice Guys, Jim and Mary. Jim and Mary are awesome because they bought us Yingling.
Yes.
And they brought it here all the way from Pennsylvania.
Mm-hmm.
We're still talking about it. We actually just, you had the last summer. Summer ale last night. We've been, this is like rationing, like wartime rationing to make this Yingling last.
But you don't want to ration it too long.
No, we've got two more black and tans left, but everything else is gone. So I'll be pounding those soon. So anyway, that's an aside. Rick Collins, William Trost, Justin Walter, Kevin and Kay, 50 in Vegas, AJ Abbott, and Daniel Weiss. Thank you all for your support of the podcast. If you're wondering what this is, go to patreon.com/500. There's a link on our website at 500bymidnight.com. Ongoing supporters of the podcast get bonus content, and I've got three things planned for going up this week on Patreon for our various listener levels.
Okay.
So,
did you say that last week too?
No.
Okay.
I said I was working on it.
Oh.
And now I have it.
You have a deadline now.
Near ready to be unveiled to our small universe.
Those three things better be up by this time next week, buddy.
Or else you can kick me in the balls.
There's
my incentive.
I wouldn't do that.
I think you might. Anyway, thanks to all of our patrons. We appreciate your support. All right. I like having listeners as our... Are you okay?
I'm fine.
How was the death hack this week?
Well, you've been making me laugh, and that's been making it worse. Well,
I guess there's a good and bad to that, then.
Exactly.
All right. What I was about to say is that I like having listeners, our group of listeners, as the sponsor of the podcast. It's a nice thing.
I do. I like that too.
So anyway, thanks everybody. We do appreciate it. All right. Some news. We've got a bunch of different things to talk about. The first one being the Bellagio fire. There was a fire on Friday night at Bellagio. You probably saw the video. It's one of those things where I almost didn't talk about it, but then I would feel a little bit weird not talking about it because so many people have seen it. News reports. The only reason that there are so many news reports is because everybody has a phone in their pocket that has a camera on it, and there was a lot of video of it, and it looked like a pretty impressive fire, when in reality, I mean, it caused almost $500,000 in damage, but it was all on the outside. Nobody got injured. It wasn't...
They didn't even destroy any of the merchandise in those shops?
No, they were all closed at the time, and there was no damage to the inside. I'm glad it was just to the roof.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
And
no one was hurt.
It lasted 30 minutes. So, yeah, it was kind of a big deal, but also kind of not.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not going to affect anything you do in Las Vegas if you have a trip coming up. So I'll just acknowledge that it happened. I guess there was also a fire that night at Golden Nugget, but it wasn't as big of a deal, which probably means it was about the same size and nobody took footage of it.
Oh.
So there you go. That's the deal. They believe it's an electrical problem, no injuries, no interior damage, blah, blah, blah. All right, moving on to more important news, things that may or may not affect your trips more than the Bellagio fire. Entertainment. We like entertainment.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes we partake of a show or two in Las Vegas.
Sometimes.
Including a trip.
Sometimes
we had
I run. Sometimes I hide.
Well done. In January, we saw Britney Spears' The Piece of Me show.
She did not perform sometimes.
She did not. I was a little disappointed about that because I do like that song.
I like it too, but I can see why she didn't perform it.
Slower
songs. It's a
little
bit of a mid-tempo.
Yeah, I wouldn't really necessarily. Yeah. Unless she had a... Well, she could, but the dance thing from the video, if she had all her dancers doing that, it
but
could be all right.
That's when she injured herself, so I could see her not wanting to do that every night.
Okay. Anyway, her show, Piece of Me, at Planet Hollywood is ending on New Year's Eve with the final performance. And there's been a ton of press about this. And the conclusion that a lot of the articles made was, Britney is done in Las Vegas, which isn't really the case. It was like, clickbait headline slash lazy journalism, that there was this quote in an interview from her manager saying, we're done with this show at the end of the year. And everybody immediately jumped to Britney's leaving Las Vegas or leaving Planet Hollywood. Maybe she's leaving Planet Hollywood, but there's also been a lot of speculation that she's about to sign another 2-year deal.
Mm-hmm.
It would just be a different show. So yes, this show is gone.
But that would be smart of her to mix it up.
I think.
Because then you'd get people who saw the first show to come back for the new show.
It would be very smart. I have a feeling she will take off maybe 3 or 4 months, and then they will announce a new show. Might not be at Planet Hollywood. There's also speculation she will be at the Park Theater at what will eventually not be Monte Carlo. What the fuck is the timeline for that?
I have
fucking
no idea.
Change your name. If you're going to do it, fucking do it. Anyway, so, but that's a leech rumor, so it's like, maybe, maybe not. Can't really, he's sometimes he's right, often he's not. I don't know.
Let's hope he's wrong about MGM and the Cosmopolitan.
Been wrong about a lot of things. Oh, yeah, that's another rumor. We're not even, this is
no.
An unofficial rumor watch. Okay, we'll do it. What the fuck?
Rumor watch. It could be true, but it's probably bullshit.
So, yeah, Robin Leach also reported that MGM Resorts has been poking around Cosmopolitan with the intentions of buying it. This rumor comes up about every year and a half.
Mm-hmm.
So, maybe. I hope not.
I hope not.
Maybe. Maybe not. Probably not.
I mean, we'll it would make sense geographically, but yeah. I hope not.
So anyway, back to Britney. Back to really important things. The Britney Spears Las Vegas thing. Here's the reason she's not leaving Vegas, as far as I can tell, is she sold a ton of tickets, making a lot of money for Planet Hollywood, making a lot of money for herself.
Mm-hmm.
I suspect that that's making everybody happy, and thus...
Yep.
She will probably continue doing it in one form or another, whether it's going to be a different show, but whether it's at the same location or not, we will see.
Mm-hmm.
I also received a rumor this week from a listener. Again, have no idea. We're hot on the rumor tip this week.
I'm glad you had that music queued up.
Have no idea whether or not there's anything to it, but he indicated that there's been some speculation that Planet Hollywood is on the verge of signing one of two. I use the term artists loosely because of the first one, to perform in the showroom on an ongoing residency basis.
Mm-hmm.
The one that I see more likely of this two that would not surprise me and that I would have no desire to see is Black Eyed Peas.
We've already seen them.
I know. They opened for U2 and they were as
they were there.
Would expect Black Eyed Peas to be. And the other one, which I don't see doing this, is Foo Fighters. I think that's like a...
Yeah.
Nah, I don't really... I can see them coming in and doing like maybe 4 shows in the course of a week. Or maybe like a hard rock thing where they perform for a week. But
I don't see them doing a residency.
No, not at this stage.
No.
I just don't. So anyway, Black Eyed Peas would make sense though. So that might happen.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see. Or it might be bullshit. We shall see. All right. Moving along to lesser forms of entertainment. Well, similar forms of entertainment on a smaller scale. The summer concert scene in Las Vegas is always a big deal. There's a lot of, like, Mandalay Bay has a summer concert series at their pool. They've introduced some kind of new, closer to the stage seating option, VIP seating. I don't know how that works, but anyway, they always have a bunch of bands come in over the course of the summer and perform outdoor shows. Of course, Fremont Street does its free shows. The lineup sucks this year, with the exception of Rick Springfield. You can find the information on VegasExperience.com if you're so interested. What else? Oh, so anyway, new to this big summer outdoor entertainment thing is Flamingo. They're getting in on the action with a series of shows at the Go Pool. They're stepping it up. They're trying to make their pool a more of a party scene. They've kind of done this a little bit in the past, where they've had some daytime DJ things, and I don't know that it ever really caught on, but this year they are going all in with DJs every day.
Hmm.
So if you were looking for a quiet day at the Flamingo Pool,
you're out of luck.
You're out of luck. Even so, the Go Pool is now what they're calling their main pool.
Mm-hmm.
They've got that other pool that used to be the Go Pool. I don't know what the fuck that is now. That might be the family-friendly pool now. But I don't think it would be very quiet because it's a pretty small overall space. You'd still hear all the stuff going on next door. So you're not going to have a quiet day at the Flamingo Pool with DJs.
If you like quiet pools, I would suggest Bellagio.
That would be a lovely place to go. Nice and relaxing at Bellagio.
So I hope they keep it that way too, because those options are getting...
I don't see them throwing a DJ up at the... I don't see them doing that at Bellagio.
I hope not.
No. I don't know what this consists of. They're promoting that they're doing kayak races.
What?
I guess they throw a couple kayaks in the pool and you can... I don't know.
Okay.
It seems ridiculous. But they're also doing these outdoor concerts.
Will they be using the water slides as part of the kayak racing?
Kayak down the water? I don't think so. I don't think that would work, but interesting concept. The 2 weeks in a row with Max getting a drink mid-show.
Hmm.
Well done, Jones. They've announced 4 concerts, and I think more are coming because they've been announcing these sporadically.
Mm-hmm.
Today, Aaron Carter performed.
Did he perform the entirety of Aaron's Party?
Is that the album or the song?
I want to say it's the album.
I would say probably not. I'm guessing he did upwards of 4 songs. That's my guess. I think this was a freebie. Mm-hmm. I think it was an afternoon thing. Some of these they're charging for. Some of them they're not. Although they have, I think they might have an admission fee. Like a small, like $10 or $20 thing for non-hotel guests. It might have been one of those. Maya on June 3rd, I think hers is one of the cheaper freebies too. And then the two that they're charging that you can get tickets in advance through Ticketmaster are Sugar Ray on June 25th and Everclear on July 16th.
One of those I would pay for.
Yeah, not a big Sugar Ray fan, but if you've been listening to the show for a while, I'm sure you remember very well me singing the hits of Everclear a year or two ago when they were performing downtown. So those things are happening. You can get all the details on what they're trying to do at this pool at gopoolvegas.com. Although, upon visiting that site, they had their full DJ listing. And
DJ Marshmallow?
And no, it's a much cheaper route than that. These are
DJ Peeps?
No. Although the Mark McGrath from Sugar Ray is DJing the day before their show. So they do have some. Oh, and also Taboo from Black Eyed Peas is on the DJ list one day.
He is also in the Black Eyed Peas.
He is also in the Black Eyed Peas. So Apple D app's whereabouts is still unknown. So gopoolvegas.com, but they didn't have any of the concert information up there. So kind of a half-assed website.
Yeah, you might want to put that up there if you want people to show up and or sell tickets.
Especially when it's in your press release about said concerts. Anyway, fucking PR people. Okay, last week we talked about the nightclub at Luxor closing. The name of that is LAX. It is gone. It is closed. There's been speculation about what it will become, but it did not last long because they already announced it.
Did somebody make a joke on Twitter about it becoming X-Lax?
If they did, I did not see that. And kudos to the person who did. That's not bad. Mm-hmm. I like that.
If I wish I could credit the person who did.
I know. I missed that one. It didn't take long for the details to come out. Luxor has announced that that space will become a multi-level esports arena called Esports Arena Las Vegas. It's opening in 2018. This is a big thing these days. I just sounded like a grandfather. These days, these kids love their video games.
They love the esports.
Oh my goodness. They sit down and they play that Pac-Man all day long. This is
okay, Grandpa Trusson.
This is the third competitive video gaming venue in Las Vegas. Unless others open between now and when this one does. But this one is by far the largest, most expensive, most, like, they're doing a lot more with this than the others. Of course, Downtown Grand has been all over the esports trend. And then there's a new esports arena that opened at Neonopolis not long ago. So clearly there's a lot of money to be made. A lot of people are jumping into this. And Luxor, I think, by going big on this, might be the winner in this whole jockeying for position. I bet Downtown Grand, you know, I don't think it's like a super impressive. They had it back in a corner for a while, and then I think they're doing something at the old commissary space, which was closed the whole time we were there.
We'll talk about that more in a bit.
So it doesn't seem like they've built out a like an impressive arena space where this is 30,000 square feet, multi-level. It's going to be a big deal. Mm-hmm. So Luxor might be smart to be
going in this direction. I think if they could get a major tournament.
Oh, they will.
Or
they,
something, yeah. That would help.
They've
but
done,
if they're just going to have it.
No, they will. MGM has had at some of its arena space, I believe. I think T-Mobile already might have hosted some of this stuff. So they have, and they're working with companies. It's not just them deciding to do this. They're working with a couple companies that are very established in this. So I think, you know, long term, whether the esports thing is a huge success in Las Vegas or not, who knows? But it seems like they're going about it in a go big direction, which if any of them are going to work, I would imagine this will, unless somebody else comes along and does it a lot better. But they certainly have the money to do it right, whereas I don't know if necessarily the Neonopolis people or the Downtown Grand people are going to go big enough to make it a huge splash.
I do not see either of those happening.
Yeah, I'll put a video link in the show notes so you can see sort of what this kind of thing looks like. It's pretty interesting. I mean, it's kind of got some aspects of a sports book with all the huge monitors, but then there are also smaller individual places. It's pretty massive and pretty cool. So it's hard to explain for those of us who aren't super familiar with the concept, but the video will clarify what this looks like. All right. In what I imagine is perhaps another attempt at getting younger people to hang out. I don't know. Do you think this is aimed at millennials, this next one? Plaza? I don't know.
I don't even know.
I don't know. Next week's city council agenda in Las Vegas includes a proposal to add a go-kart track to Plaza. It would be in the employee parking lot on Main Street. It's about two blocks off of Fremont, across from Bridger. So on the Golden Gate side of Plaza, a couple blocks down. So they want to turn this parking lot into a go-kart track, and the Las Vegas City staff, they always put a recommendation into the notes. They see how it fits in with current regulations, laws, zoning, things like that, and then they make a recommendation. They're currently recommending denial of the proposal. That does not always mean the city council will go along with that. Sometimes they will say, no, we're going to approve it, or we're going to approve it, but here are some stipulations for things you have to do to bring it up to code or to make it better fit into this neighborhood. So we'll see. I don't know. Go-kart track it. It seems like they're just throwing shit at the wall at Plaza a lot of times. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. Maybe. I don't know. For some reason, I don't think it would be a huge success.
Yeah.
But I could be wrong. Could be huge.
Go-karting is making a resurgence. Who knows?
I don't know. We'll see. When we were in Las Vegas, the other thing, too, we noticed, did we even go into the Plaza this time? I don't think we did. I was intending to go over there and check out that deli that nobody has reviewed or mentioned ever since it opened, and we never made it over to that, and which, not the fact that we didn't make it over there, but the fact that we haven't heard shit about it is probably not a great sign.
Mm-hmm.
If anybody does go there, please review it for us. We'd love a call to let us know if it's any good, if you liked it, if you didn't. But the beer garden space outside was all ripped up when we were there, and they had even taken the sign down and stuff. So I looked at the beer garden website when we got back, and it is, well, not the beer garden website, the Plaza website, and beer garden is no longer listed. So apparently
they AstroTurf, or did they have grass?
They started out with grass and they made a big deal out of it. And I think at that point we said, you know what? I don't think that grass is going to do real well there.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of upkeep. And then the next year,
I vaguely remember that.
Not long after that, they replaced it with AstroTurf.
Mm-hmm.
And there was never that many people sitting outside.
Ooh.
It's not, the ambiance there was not great.
Oh, God, no.
You're looking at Las Vegas Club, which was either in bad shape and or closed, depending on when you were there.
Mm-hmm. So, and you're smelling Las Vegas Club
Plaza. There's a stoplight right there. You're smelling the exhaust from the cars waiting to proceed on Main Street. That's not great. The indoor space was, we tried it. We reviewed it at one point. The indoor space, it was a weird location right off of the food court.
Mm-hmm.
So there were like people wandering in from McDonald's thinking they could eat in there. It was just not a fun place to hang out, really. So I'm not surprised it's closed. I have no idea what's going to go in there. They haven't announced anything. I think the best use of that space would be to try to get another food court vendor in there, to be quite honest. I don't think trying to make it into its own thing. I get they want to use that outdoor space, so maybe some sort of a restaurant that has some outdoor dining if they decide to go that route, but throw a fucking Starbucks in there, you'll probably do gangbusters. We shall see. All right, speaking of outdoor spaces, we discussed this one, I don't know, more than a year ago, I'm thinking. That
sure.
That Circus Circus had put forth some plans to Clark County for, at the time, I think it was rumored to be a water park, but that was quickly shot down, and they may have even announced at that time officially that they were putting in a new pool. They have new details now as they prepare to open that pool. It's planned for early summer. They said second quarter, so I'm thinking probably June-ish. Could be a little earlier. They have some photos up on the, I don't know if it's on the Circus Circus website. I saw...
Because you spend a lot of time on the Circus Circus website.
Well, I'll go there if I have to. I saw this in an MGM employee publication online. Anyway, they have some details about the new pool. It's going to have 3 water slides, a speed slide, an aqua tube, and a 4-lane mat racer. That'll be cool. I mean, for kids who are staying there, which that's their market.
I think it's a good addition.
It is. For what their market is,
yep.
I don't necessarily like that that's a market,
mm-hmm.
but that's something we've rehashed too many times.
Yeah. And there are people who still miss the old Wet and Wild thing.
Fine. Stay at Circus Circus. You're going to have some water slides. They've got water cannons, or they're going to have water cannons and I don't know what, like waterfalls and all kinds of shit you can play in. They're also going to have a food truck on site. They're also, in addition to this new pool, their 2 existing pools are going to receive a refresh. They're going to have a refurbished snack bar, new restrooms. I know. Circus
Tasty.
Maximus. New restrooms and showers and a pool area. One of the pool areas will be dedicated to guests 18 and older. So they're going to have, I don't believe it's going to be topless as far as I know. That would be weird at Circus Circus.
Oh my God, that would be bizarre.
It is topless, but you have to wear clown makeup.
Oh God.
They have face painters, but they don't just paint your face.
Well, they paint faces on you.
Big balloons on your boobage. Oh my God. Okay. So that's happening at Circus Circus. If you are looking for a place that has a good kid-friendly pool, you might have a new option here later this summer. I have no segue for this next one.
I have a question.
Yes.
Before we move on.
All right.
Are there water esports?
Watery sports?
And what do those look like?
You know what? I off the top of my head, I can't think of anything. But after the show, get on Google and type in water sports. You'll learn all kinds of new things. So there you go. As far as water esports, not to the best of my knowledge. Thanks for bringing that up, though.
Sure.
All right. So there was a rumor a few weeks ago that we mentioned about Tropicana getting a new show called Men of the Strip. It's not really a new show. It would just be a new location for it. It has toured. It has performed sporadically in Las Vegas, but has not had an ongoing location.
It has buff dudes.
It does have buff dudes. It's going to be opening on May 25th at the Havana Room at Tropicana, which has up to this point been used for private events. The show is going to be... Oh, I should just say what the show is. It's men. It's Chippendales. Wannabe kind of knockoff thing. That's probably rude to say if, you know, somebody from the show were to be listening to this, which they're not, to call it that. But really, you know, the male stripper shows, how much difference could there possibly be? And I'd say the same thing for like the striptease shows with ladies.
It's like, and I say this as someone who has possibly ranked the stripper shows in the past.
You're going to do that, aren't you? You're going to go to all of them?
No.
Oh, I thought we were talking about that a few weeks ago and you thought you might do it. So I think we even had some volunteers to join you.
Well.
You're going to go to Magic Mike
and
Thunder from Down Under, Chippendales, Men from the Strip. I'm sure there are... You're getting choked up.
I am.
Anyway, this new one is Thursdays through Sundays, 9 p.m. show at Tropicana in the Havana Room. Tickets go on sale Monday on Ticketmaster.com. They start at $50. And $50 plus fees, up to $80. And I believe for the first several shows, at least, Jeff Timmons from 98 Degrees is going to be sort of hosting and opening. I believe he might sing.
Will he be opening his shirt?
I would imagine he will, but I believe he also might sing some 98 Degrees songs.
Yeah.
I think I read that in the Review Journal or somewhere. So If you're a big fan of 98 Degrees, you can see one of the members.
One of the members?
Of the group.
Oh, of the group. Okay.
Signing, singing. I don't know what the hell they do. Yeah. So there you have it.
Do they have sign language interpreters at the strip shows?
Oh, that would be an uncomfortable job, wouldn't
that
it?
That would be awesome.
I would actually like to see that. That's a fine question. But then, it's not that the people can't see it, though. It would just be the music. So what would exactly the sign language people do?
I don't know.
That concept does not work. It would be better if they had somebody who described all of the actions for the people who are vision impaired.
There you go.
That's what you're thinking, I think, more than the sign language. I get what you're going for with that question, though.
Oh, well, you said signing, and I immediately thought...
All right, finally, there's another show-related item. Clint Holmes, longtime staple in Las Vegas, he performed for years at Harrah's, and then he went and did some shows elsewhere. He had recently had a series of shows, I believe, at Venetian. He performed at Smith Center for a while, but he hasn't had a long-term show in a showroom, you know, on the strip of Fremont Street for a long period of time. The Venetian thing did not last super long. Anyway, he's going to be performing at Golden Nugget on an ongoing basis, so maybe this one will stick around. He's only doing two nights a week, Tuesdays and Wednesdays. They're doing some different things with that showroom now. They've got him, they've got Frankie Moreno, and then they have...
Is it the Friday night?
Yeah, the 52 Friday concert series where they bring in different bands every week. There was a rumor, again, I don't think we discussed it on the show, but I had heard a rumor at one point, did not pass it along, that they were trying to get Jersey Girls...
Jersey Boys.
Jersey Girls is a Bruce Springsteen, Tom Waits combo off-Broadway production. I don't know what the fuck I'm talking about. Jersey Boys. I love the song Jersey Girl. That's what popped into my head.
It's a good song.
Actually, it's a stage adaptation of the shitty Kevin Smith movie. Ben Affleck also stars in the stage show.
And J-Lo dies.
All right. Spoiler alert, I don't know that I actually watched it to the end.
It's like the first 5 minutes.
Oh, well, I guess I didn't watch the first 5 minutes. I turned it off after two. All right, anyway, Jersey Boys. I love that I fucked that up.
I do too.
Thank you for correcting me immediately so I don't have to face the tweets and emails. Like when I mentioned a few weeks ago, I talked about something going into the space at Caesars where La Salsa Cantina is.
Mm-hmm.
And I... off the cuff mentioned that it was next to Joe's Crab Shack.
Oh, I didn't even catch that.
Instead of Joe's Stone Crab. Yep. I was flooded with corrections. So our listeners are always sharp to pick up on.
You love Joe's Crab Shack so much.
I think crabs. That's the first thing that popped into my head. Thank goodness, I think. Joe's Stone Crab. This is what happens when you just talk about things. I have notes, but not on every little... thing.
Mm-hmm.
So Jersey Boys was a rumor as far as Golden Nugget, but apparently that hasn't happened. So anyway, no ticket prices or on sale dates yet for Clint Holmes, so keep an eye out on the Golden Nugget website if you are interested in seeing him perform. All right, so we're going to talk about our trip in a little bit. Should we take phone calls first?
Sure.
That's how I have it in the notes, so let's do that, although we can certainly change it up if you'd prefer.
Whatever.
Sometimes I'd like you to say, no, I want to do it differently. I would welcome your input anytime you want to shake things up.
Are you sure?
You do it anyway, so why not? Okay, where are my phone calls? Let's start with this gentleman.
Hey, Kid and Michelle, it's not Drunk Scott from Boston. I'm going to try this trip report again. I had a little trouble with the voicemail before. I had a great trip here this week, Wednesday to Saturday. Just getting ready to fly back. Maybe you can hear the Karen voice. I just wanted to give some recommendations on food. I went to Lotus of Siam, which is just off the strip, kind of up near SLS down that street. And wow, man, that place was amazing. I took a couple clients there on the recommendations I'd seen on the Facebook page. And I thought I was making a big mistake because it looks like, you know, you're in some kind of very sketchy neighborhood with, like, you know, happy ending massage parlors and whatnot in this strip mall. But once you walk in the door, it is beautiful inside, and the food was easily the best Thai food I've ever had, and I've had a lot.
Really. I always wonder about that place if when you go in there, like, the entire Las Vegas Advisor staff is sitting in the corner. They love that place.
They do.
They love that, I think, more than they love the El Cortez steak special. Ellis Island.
Ellis Island. I was like, what?
I got to quit drinking. It's clearly having an effect on the show in a bad way.
I guess.
Ellis Island. One time at work, I don't know if I ever shared this in the show, when I had my previous job, something came up and I can't remember what it was or why it came up. So we were looking at some piece of artwork to be used on something, and it was kind of this funky thing. And I meant to say that it reminded me of Dolly, and I said the Dalai Lama instead of Salvador Dali. So you can see my mind almost gets it and then just is a little bit off. Mm-hmm. So anyway, I'm going to quit talking now. Back to Scott.
It started with L.
I know. See where it was going? Like, my mind starts with the right part and then just goes, I'm going to go off on my own and say this.
You're fun.
And yet I choose not to do any editing for the entertainment of our listeners. Okay, back to Scott.
I checked out Momofuku at Cosmo. Also, really great food. Very interesting Asian fusion stuff. A little slightly, you know, overpriced. I mean, like everything in Vegas is, but really, really good. And I recommend the pork bun. They're amazing. Like,
really?
Pork belly melts in your mouth and this bun. The milk bar next door, which is also part of that David Chang thing, is really good. This crazy, like, cereal milk ice cream they make there tastes like the milk left over in your cereal bowl. Maybe you guys tried that on your trip. Other good meals, Chino Poblano, I can't make a trip without that. And so I obviously ate a lot of Cosmo, even though I was staying across the street at Paris. I had an egg slut from there too for breakfast on my way back. And yeah, so some really great food and some places I hadn't tried before. I'll call back another time with hotel and other stuff. Thanks for your great show. Really helped me for this trip. Bye-bye.
All right, thank you for the call. We do appreciate it.
We did have the cereal milk, or I had
you
the
did.
Cereal milk white Russian. You had something else.
Some chocolate thing, I think.
Both delicious.
Yeah, I like their work there at Milk Bar.
I do too. It's a little spendy, but
yeah, tasty.
Delicious.
They're on vacation. What the hell? All right, thanks for that call. We do appreciate it. Always good to get restaurant reviews. Next up, longtime friend of the show.
Good morning, Five Hundies. This is Melanie from Colorado calling you live from Fremont Street. So I am in town for a invite video poker tournament. I get these things all the time from Main Street, California. I've never been. I couldn't find anything out about it. So here's what it's like. On this one, yesterday and today, we played we played one 20-minute session each day. It's at 10 a.m. You get 1,500 credits. You got to burn through them in 20 minutes. The first day, I couldn't quite get through them. Today, I did. Whoever gets the most points combined wins, I don't know, money, and it goes on down to 10th place, I believe. So this thing is really fun. I'm a very slow video poker player, tend to deal and chat and whatever. You really got to concentrate and go, 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 and the adrenaline's fun. So you play on these extremely old machines. The buttons get stuck. It's part of the fun. I was the youngest person there by at least 30 or 40 years. That, too, is pretty fun. Anyway, try it. It's fun if you get an offer like that. I'm glad that I did. Came with three nights, free lodging. Of course, that's always welcome. At Main Street, which I love. So good job on the shows, 500. Love your review of the Cosmo. I actually just left there. You know me, went for a morning run, ended up at the bar, ended up running some more. I had two verbenas and a mojito, playing double-double bonus the quarter level. So got three free tickets, two tickets and a free drink in that time. If anybody's wondering what's going on at the Cosmo. So I feel like it's adequate, but maybe it's just adequate for 8 a.m. I loved it. Bye.
All right, thanks for the call. We'll hear more from Melanie
shortly.
That's
like me, except for the running part. I just end up at the bar.
Cut out the middleman and just go right mm-hmm. for the destination.
Yeah. So she was talking about video poker tournament.
Correct.
So I'm worried that if I were in one of those, it would mess up my regular video poker play.
I did one a long time ago at Venetian. Mm-hmm. And it was a different... I don't believe it was like double-double bonus. I feel like it was something weird. So your strategy is, I don't know. You're playing for such short amount of time in each session. It probably wouldn't screw you up too bad.
Okay. And then for slot tournaments, you know the people who do the crazy voodoo?
Yes.
They wouldn't do well in slot tournaments.
No, they wouldn't. Like every time they hit a jackpot or every time they want to hit a jackpot, they
do the little spell with the hands like they're trying to on the screen.
Conjure up jackpots.
Yeah.
Yeah. Those people are ridiculous. Superstitions. I don't subscribe. But you do see, there's not been a Las Vegas trip where we haven't seen a couple people doing that shit.
Mm-hmm.
I don't understand it. Oh, like really, fucking making a hand motion in front of the screen.
I make a hand motion in front of the screen sometimes if I get, say, four to the royal, but you know what hand motion I'm talking about.
Yeah, you're not expecting to result in anything.
Right.
But the fact that someone would
after the fact.
Like wave their hand in front of the screen and actually think that that's going to make a difference, that's a special level of nutty.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay. I'm sure we have some of those people listening to us.
You do you.
Yeah, enjoy yourself. It doesn't work. It doesn't help. If it did, you'd be rich. All right, moving along to, I've been waiting for a call about this. I've been waiting for someone to try this.
I'm curious too.
Hey, Tim and Michelle, this is Jeff from Southern California calling in for the first time from the Mon Ami Gabby outdoor patio on a beautiful morning at the end of a quick weekend trip. Love the show, guys, and everything you do for this community. Just wanted to report in on one new thing that I tried, which was the skill-based gaming over at Planet Hollywood. It's an interesting game called Gamble It Poker. It's basically a heads-up, actually four-way if you can get everyone there. And it wasn't very crowded, so I don't know how this is going to go over. But it's a $2 bet. There's a little wheel that spins in the middle that tells you how much you're playing for. Most of them are under the $4 to $6 or $8 limit, which is how the casinos, I guess, are going to make money on this. There are two spots with a little bit bigger wagers and then one or two pretty big ones. So $120 or $240 is the biggest wager you'll get. I didn't even see anything close to that. Most of the wagers were between $3 and $4. And then basically you get two hole cards and then you're competing with your friends at the table to grab the card in the middle of the table. So it just a card pops up, and you hit the button to try and grab it and make it yours, and you're trying to make the best poker hand of the four players at the table. It's a giant iPad flat screen. And I would say it was fun because of the trash-talking to the people around the table, but that's only going to entertain for so long, in my opinion. I played for about 5 minutes with one person that I was traveling with and another lady who walked up, and it was a little bit of laughter, a little bit of entertainment, no money being made, really. I'm not 100% sure how well this is going to go over. It was okay, like I said. Trash talk was fun, but we can do that basically anywhere. It'll be interesting to see how long or if this grabs hold. Anyways, other than that, lots of the regular stuff going on. About to enjoy a delicious lunch. Love you guys and the show. Michelle, our favorite part of each episode is when you go full middle schooler and just start giggling. We can't wait to find that part of the podcast in each episode. Again, guys, thanks a lot. Have a good one.
You should try watching Survivor with her. Every challenge involving balls is a giggle fest.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
So something interesting. We've had calls.
Why are you calling it a bag of balls? Why don't you call it a sack of balls? Anyway.
We've had calls over the past couple months where people have said, I played the skill-based Frogger slot machines or the skill. And those aren't. They had bonus rounds that were interesting, perhaps, and made you feel like it was a skill-based thing, but they are not. So Planet Hollywood actually unveiled these skill-based machines recently.
Actually, they did?
They did. And did you happen to see Dr. Dave's article?
I saw the link to it, but I haven't read it yet, but I would like to.
It was in Vegas 7. Dr. Dave decided to write an article about these machines, so of course he wanted to try them out. He went over there right after they were unveiled in an attempt to play them. He put his money in one of the machines and was greeted with a message, the game will begin as soon as others enter their money. You cannot play it alone.
Ooh.
That is a major problem.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
So he waited a couple minutes to see if anyone would show up and play, and nobody did. And that was his experience playing.
Aw.
which I'm glad he didn't stick around. I'm glad that he was like, yes, this is bullshit. Mm-hmm. That's not what he said, but that's what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
That's a major fucking problem.
Uh-huh.
And the fact that they put those machines out there with that, like, that you have to have multiplayer.
You have to be social.
Fucking short-sighted on behalf of the manufacturers and the casinos.
Because even, like, the blackjack and roulette and pop-up craps.
Right, because you're playing against the dealer. Yeah. But apparently with this, where he said you're competing against people to grab the card or whatever, there's no solo option on there.
Mm.
So, I don't know. I'll check these out sometime, you know, during a future trip, I'm sure. But I'm very skeptical having heard that. And, you know, Jeff's review is great. I appreciate you calling in with that. And based on what he's saying, too, it sounds like it's not necessarily a long-term engagement. You might be entertained for a few minutes, but I don't know. If other people check them out and love them and end up sitting there for hours, I'd love to hear that too. I'm really curious about anybody, whether anybody finds these to be great fun, especially if you're in the age bracket. If you're in your 20s, I would especially be curious because that's who you're going after with this stuff. All right. Thank you, sir, for that call. I love when we get calls about new stuff like that. I'm like, oh, finally, I get to hear what somebody thinks of it. So that's cool. All right. Let's go back to the gentleman from Boston.
Doing show. It's not Drunk Scott from Boston again. Thought I'd finish up my trip report here, and I remembered one restaurant I forgot. Giada I went to at Cromwell, which was really great. I've been there before, and it is super consistent, excellently executed food. The fish, the branzino I had was so crispy and delicious, and the meatballs. If you ever go, you've got to try these. I think they call them macata meatballs. They are just like little meaty pillows in your mouth.
I would love to have Giada's little meaty pillows in my mouth.
Yeah, I bet you would.
This is so okay. I should really start keeping a tally. I'm not going to, but I should. Mm-hmm. Of Giada's great versus overrated, not so great.
Yeah, because it seems to go. There isn't a lot of middle ground.
No. No, we've had a lot of both. People love it. People don't like it because the service isn't great or the whatever. But
although, and then there are some people. I say there's not a lot of middle ground, but then there are some people who have had mixed experiences like, oh, the view was great, but the service was slow.
Yeah.
Or
yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, let's continue on with Giada's little meaty mouth pillows.
Giada.
All right, select people on our Facebook group love when I do that.
Other stuff from this trip. So first time staying at Paris, which was great. I had a nice offer for that property, so I took it, and the room was great. I had one of the Bordeaux rooms facing the strip. I could see the Bellagio fountains. I think I saw your room over at Cosmo across the way. At least I could see the Boulevard pool. Maybe that's not the pool you guys were on, but you know, great view and great clean room. It had a fridge that was empty, which I prefer, instead of one of those stock fridges with stuff I'm not going to pay for. So you know, safe and everything. It was a really great, really great room. I don't like the casino there very much. It's very dark and dingy. The dealers are kind of blah, and the slots are not very interesting. So I'm not crazy about playing there, but I played at Cromwell. I played at Cosmo, and that was awesome. Props to Cromwell again for having the best craps on the strip. 100x odds. They usually have a $5 and $10 table. Great dealers, great personalities, crazy people. Just, you know, beautiful design, of course, in the property. Just a great place. Speaking of great design, my event was up at SLS. I continue to be impressed by SLS. I mean, it's kind of quiet, you know, but not a lot of people get down there, and they really suffer from being kind of way on the end of the strip there. But man, it's beautiful inside, and the gaming is good. They have good slots, good dealers, good food options. And not Drunk Scott again. Sorry, I got interrupted there. Last thing I wanted to say about this trip was I flying out on JetBlue, and I got to the airport a little early. There's a great lounge
down at the very end from where my JetBlue flights usually are from, down across from gate E2, the LV Club or Vegas Club Lounge or something like that it's called. But it's a great lounge, and anybody that has that Priority Pass card or an American Express Platinum, or you can get that Priority card, it's pretty cheap, can use it, and it's great. It's beautiful, quiet, nice, comfortable seats, TVs, a full bar, coffee, food, water, newspapers, all the things. So I recommend, if you're, you know, got to the airport a little early, like a middle-aged man Scott did, you can go down to across from E2 and chill in civilization until your flight. All right, thanks again, guys, for the awesome show, and thanks to the rest of the 500 community for all the Facebook help for this trip.
All right, thank you for your calls. We do appreciate that. Yes, you pretty much nailed it with SLS. Nice enough place, but there's a reason that it's so quiet, and that is its location. Mm-hmm. Not a lot going down on that end of the strip. So, and, you know, I mean, we visited there a couple times. I never feel drawn there.
I have a good time when I'm there.
Me too, but there's not enough there to get me to go exclusively just for what's there. So maybe that'll change at some point. We shall see. Moving along. Next caller.
Hey, Tim and Michelle. This is Jeff from Seattle. Hey, this is my first time calling, and I've been listening to your podcast for quite a while, and my first time back to Vegas since listening. And I want to thank you so much for giving me the motivation to come back downtown. I'm here at the Long Bar at the D, and your talk and your motivation got me to be back downtown, and I love the energy. There's so much more here, I'd say, than downtown. That on the strip, just the pounding sound, the energy, the crowd, and I love it. Here at the D, here at the Golden Gate, just I can't say enough. It's awesome. So thank you so much for what you do for the podcast, for sharing your information. I love you guys. I love the podcast. All right, rally on. Cheers. Bye.
Hey, Jeff, thanks for the kind words. Appreciate that.
Hey.
Glad you enjoyed it. And yeah, you know what? If you haven't been to a certain area of downtown or a certain area of Las Vegas for a while.
Except for Sam's Town.
I'm talking about the Strip and Fremont Street, of course. The rest of Las Vegas does not exist in my mind.
Mm-hmm.
I know people don't always love that take on things, but I am an unapologetic tourist when it comes to Las Vegas. And those are the places I like to spend my time. So anyway, but yeah, if you know, if you haven't been to a certain part of the Strip, haven't been downtown in a while, might be worth checking out, because sometimes things change and you realize, oh my God, it's really fun here. We've done that. I mean, there have been times where we haven't spent any time at all on the south end of the Strip.
Yep.
And then there was one trip where we ended up spending an entire evening at Mandalay Bay, mm-hmm. and had an awesome time.
Yes.
Not that we thought Mandalay Bay was a bad place or anything, but mm-hmm. it's just not something that we were drawn to do. So, you know, we had a friend down there and went and hung mm-hmm. out there and ended up like, oh my God, this place is great. So
yeah.
It's worth revisiting some of those areas that you might not spend as much time. Again, I'm really in this phase lately, and I've talked about it on the show a lot, where I like to do things to avoid a rut
mm-hmm.
in Las Vegas. I like to make sure we're trying new things. I like to check out, you know, different stuff, or shake up our trips, I guess. A lot of times that involves...
So even though we didn't leave Cosmo the whole time,
we didn't,
were
but that was
there,
a, but that
we
was
tried a new room, we tried new food.
Yeah, that was a very different thing for us, though, because we've never done that before. We go and stay in a hotel for almost 3 days and don't leave.
Mm-hmm.
So that is a way of getting out of a rut. And I don't think we've been in a rut, but I like that. I like that we're not stuck on doing the same things every time.
Mm-hmm.
And even when we stay for several nights downtown, for example, I feel like California is a good example. We've mm-hmm. talked about that a lot of times since their remodel over the past year, that was a place we never hung out. And then they did the remodel and we checked it out and was like, oh my God, mm-hmm. this place is super great. We love having time in the casino there. And
yep. And you've been having fun playing at Main Street Station.
Yeah. Which I hadn't been doing a lot of lately or previous to that. So I don't know. There's something to be said for trying things again that you haven't done in a while, as well as maybe things for the first time. That is the drum I'm beating these days.
That's what you're beating these days?
It is what I'm beating the most frequently on this show.
Okay.
Oh, you see, now that's the junior high thing that, who was it that mentioned that? Who said that they were looking for
it? It was Jeff.
Jeff.
The first Jeff.
The first Jeff, yes. He's getting his fill of your middle school humor this week. All right. I think we're going to go to Mike from Arizona for the last call this week.
Hi, this is Mike from Gilbert, Arizona, calling with my trip report. My wife and I went to Vegas the weekend of March 30th through the 3rd. We stayed at the Link, which has been our go-to in the Caesars chain since they remodeled it. They bumped us up to a petite suite since that was rather nice. Gambling was a stellar level this time. Some of the listeners may have seen the Facebook posting of Tracy's win at the video poker at the Tag Bar, hitting a couple of very large jackpots with either aces and a kicker or royal flush, depending on the win and the level of playing. We do not consider ourselves high rollers, by the way. It was, as gambling is in Vegas, just a case of being in the right place at the right time. We ate at the Ruth Chris over at Harrah's, only because it was convenient, but it was very well done. Excellent service. We've eaten in that location when it was the Range. I feel that this is a much caliber higher than the Range, both in the service and the food. Gordon Ramsay's fish and chips we patronized, and I thought that was pretty good. My wife thought it was a bit on the greasy side, but fast and hot. Did breakfast at Margaritaville one morning. Not sure what to say about this property. We're a fan of the casino, but the breakfast compared to when they first introduced it is, I don't even think at the level of Denny's at this point. And it's kind of disappointing because they could put out a much better product. But, you know, bacon that you can basically read a book through is not exactly going to bring the people in. The one thing to note, those that are familiar with the casino at Margaritaville, there's a front porch area at the 5 o'clock bar that has now shade over it, which will be nice in the summertime. The other thing to be note to listeners is that you can bring your own beer from the little liquor store that's just down the way. So if you want to take some time, bring your own beer. There is no waitress service on that place, so it's kind of first come, first serve, and it's a great location to people watch as they drift by you. One of the things that proved to be rather interesting is that a couple weeks before this trip, I got word that my boss was having a business meeting on the Tuesday, the next day after we got back from our personal trip. So I had to go back to Vegas. Now, this on paper sounds like just a fantastic scenario, but in practice, it proved to be, well, I would have rather had some daylight between the two trips, quite honestly. The business trip, we stayed at Caesars across the way. Didn't do nearly as much gambling as I did the previous weekend, but we got a cabana at the pool area instead of sitting around in a hotel room doing our meeting. We ended up moving the meeting out to the cabana, which was very nice. Very nice day. Felt that we were very productive and had a little bit of eye candy to watch as we worked along the day. So,
business meeting titties.
Other than that, not much to report. We did eat at Prime over at Bellagio. Had a the big table at the very end of the patio overlooking the fountains. Words don't even describe that experience. And on the way out, two of the guys that I work with got on a heater. One of them was rolling for an hour and a half at the craps table. The other one was betting like a madman. They cashed out just as we had to get to the airport with 10 grand. So
nice.
That was very profitable for them anyways.
It's a way to get out of town.
Enjoy the podcast. You guys take care.
Thanks, Mike. Appreciate the call. Thanks for the reviews. And thank you for the info. I appreciate that. All right, Facebook group post of the week before we get to our trip reviews. Actually, we're going to get refills before our trip reviews.
Good, good. I was hoping you'd say that.
But before that, our...
We're both... I'm eyeing the glasses like oh, getting low.
It's not going to get us through. All right, Facebook group post of the week comes from Jerry with a request for suggestions from our beloved Facebook group members for free nap locations for late night. He's just thinking our... This is similar to a couple weeks ago, I think, our Facebook group post of the week. Our friend Brian Ibbett recently did a, I think his was a 28-hour trip mm-hmm. with no hotel room. He was periscoping. It was a few days ago. And I think Jerry is pondering doing a similar thing, no room, but he might want to catch a few winks at some point during his trip. I was looking for suggestions, so people have been chiming in with specific sports books and some out-of-the-way seating and convention areas and things like that. So I look forward to Jerry's post-trip report to see if he took advantage of any of these suggestions. But I will link to that in the show notes, and you can add your own suggestions if you have them. And thanks to Jerry for posting that. I think that's the first time that topic has come up on the group, at least in recent history. So I always appreciate seeing new angles on Vegas, and this certainly is one of them. Okay, our drinks are refilled, and I have a very important update for you specifically, because I don't think any of our listeners are going to care. I got a press release while you were making our drinks, and thank you for that, by the way.
You're welcome.
Regarding the Aaron Carter show this afternoon at the Flamingo Go Pool.
Mm-hmm.
This is apparently the second year in a row he has played the Go Pool, so he's a repeat guest. I didn't even know they had shows there last year. We probably talked about it in the podcast. I just don't remember.
I thought you said something about they had a limited run last year, but maybe not. I don't know. We've been drinking.
Anyway, for the second year in a row, he performed his new hit songs. No, he didn't perform his new hit songs for the second year in a row. He performed at the Go Pool for the second year in a row. But he performed his new hit songs, Fool's Gold and Sooner or Later. I take issue with the new hit songs.
I take issue with the word hit.
He also performed... See, I think he only did four songs. In addition to treating the audience to songs from his new EP, Love... Carter played remixes of longtime fan favorites I Want Candy and Aaron's Party.
Ah, yeah.
So there you go. You were wondering about Aaron's Party.
I was wondering about Aaron's Party.
You got your response. I'm glad that we could provide that to everybody who was concerned listening earlier, wondering what was going on.
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's talk about our trip. These are the last few nuggets of information from our most recent trip. Okay, so after leaving our when we last left you on the last episode of Reviewing Las Vegas with Tim and Michelle. You heard about our cosmopolitan trip and all of our antics
last
there.
Last week on As the World Turns.
I've always wanted to have one of those. I thought about doing one of those to start the show just as a goof one time, and I never ended up doing it.
Hmm.
I never will.
Yeah.
Anyway, we stayed at Cosmo for a couple days, and then we made our way downtown. So this was, as we mentioned previously, a special trip for us because it was our anniversary, and we knew that anything downtown after staying at our Cosmo room was going to be a significant downgrade, but we still wanted to keep
the party going.
Yeah, so we didn't want to just have a standard room. We figured, okay, we're doing this, let's get a nice suite. And we decided to go with Downtown Grand, and there I would have gone with their top level suite. I don't even know what the pricing is, so I say that now, but it wasn't available. It's the Grand suite, and that has a hot tub in the room that we probably wouldn't have used. Because after the Cosmo hot tub outside,
right?
Why would you? But it was it's a cool looking room. They didn't have that, so we went with their second tier suite.
Although maybe I was going through so much hot tub withdrawal that
you might just have to.
Yeah.
We went their second tier suite, which is the city suite. These rooms are advertised as being top floor, expansive views. And you know, the downtown views aren't like the strip views where you see awesome neon and all that stuff. You might see some of the Fremont Street stuff.
Or the Bellagio fountains.
Yeah, the downtown views aren't great.
You might see somebody pissing themselves on a side street, but that's about it.
But you'd have views of the mountains and, you know, whatever. So it would be a nice...
We did see.
It would be nice for downtown in terms of the views. But being up on the top floor and having a nice big room, that's what we wanted to do. And then we were going to be able to review another new room on the show, which was also a secondary thing that we wanted to be able to do. So that's what we booked, and when we arrived at Downtown Grand to check in...
Do you have the Price's Right horns handy?
I don't, I'm sorry.
Okay.
We were told that our... Well, the way that it was told, upon checking in, gave the very friendly check-in clerk credit card and license as always, and she said, Oh, so did anybody let you know that your room has been changed? Like, nope.
No.
It's interesting. There's a hot topic, a very hot topic in the news right now, which is overbooking of airlines.
Mm-hmm.
And hotels go right along with that. Those are the two industries where they overbook, and occasionally everybody shows up, and then they have a problem where they don't have enough rooms. In this case, they did have enough rooms, at least when we arrived. However, they did not have our room, so we were downgraded. Right.
They did not have our room type.
It happens. So we ended up, instead of the top floor city suite, mm-hmm. we were moved to a one-bedroom suite, which we've had before.
Yep.
Perfectly comfortable room.
Serviceable.
This was on the sixth floor facing the parking garage.
It's nice.
They adjusted our rate.
There were pigeons. Occasionally pigeons.
Much like the first time we stayed there. There were mm-hmm. pigeons outside of our window. So we had like pets during mm-hmm. our trip. The room rate adjustment, and I think for the four nights we were staying there, the room rate, and this was March Madness weekend, so there were mm-hmm. the room rates were pretty high.
Yeah.
The room rate that we had booked for the city suite with taxes and everything, I think was around $1,400. It's not a cheap room. The room rate adjustment for the city suite was not much. It was like $30 a night that mm-hmm. they credited us. And I was like, really? That's... It's a perfectly nice room.
Mm-hmm.
However,
we've stayed in them before. Yeah.
I would not.
I think you mentioned that.
Yeah. I would not have booked that room at that rate.
Right.
So I was a little disappointed in that. I was a little disappointed that we had not been told beforehand because,
yes.
and I don't know if it's standard practice, but I know in the past that we've had friends who have been bumped from hotels, and it's not every time. I know that sometimes you show up, and again, it's an overbooking situation,
mm-hmm.
but sometimes the hotel knows they're going to get into that,
mm-hmm.
and they will contact the people in advance and say, hey, your room's not going to be available. Want to let you know. Here's
yeah.
what we're going to do to make it, to make you happy.
Mm-hmm.
I would have appreciated that kind of communication. I didn't
yeah.
get any, but
a heads okay. up would have been nice.
Yeah, no heads up, but anyway, it was kind of bothering me that the room rate adjustment was only $30. I'm like,
yeah.
I don't feel right paying
this.
I'm not happy
for
paying
this room.
This.
Yeah.
So the next day I went to speak with a supervisor at the front desk. I asked to speak with a hotel manager, but they said, well, first you get to speak with her.
Mm-hmm.
And that was where it stopped. I think she was some sort of a supervisor at the front desk. Again, perfectly friendly. And I just said, you know what, I'm not thrilled with this rate given what we booked and
mm-hmm.
what we got.
Yep.
We had our hearts set on this room, but I understand this happened, but I'm not really too pleased about it. I don't know. I mean, I have mixed feelings about this. Like, I don't know. I don't feel like I was being unreasonable.
No.
With that. Just if they had said, look, we're knocking $100 a night off your room, I probably would have been more comfortable with the
oh, yeah.
$30 a night. I was like, really?
Yeah.
That's
no.
it? So I just said, I told her, I'm like, I'm not real thrilled with that, and the fact that I didn't know about it until we showed up and blah
right.
blah blah. So she went in the back room and did the whole car dealer thing.
Mm-hmm.
Let me talk to a manager. Went back, came out, and she offered $100 food credit. I'm like, well, that's okay, but at that point we had a lot of plans for specific places we were going to eat, and
mm-hmm.
I knew that we were unlikely to spend $100 in food there, and I didn't really want to change our plans. So I said, you know what,
we were probably going to eat there once, which is what we
what
did.
We ate at Freedom Beat for $25 or something. But I said, here's the thing. If you're able to waive the resort fee, which the resort fee is $23 a night, so it's not a huge thing. But I said, if you could waive the resort fee for the trip, I'll walk away a satisfied customer.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was a pretty reasonable request.
Definitely.
And she just went, well, I can waive it for two nights. And I said, well, if that's all you can do. But I was very
mm-hmm.
disappointed in that
mm-hmm.
because the more I thought about it
yep.
throughout the day,
yep. crabbier you got.
I did. I was getting cranky. And the reason is, here's the thing. I recently was at a conference that had a speaker on customer loyalty.
Mm-hmm.
I think he was an executive from Quick Trip. And they do a lot of the convenience stores.
Yep.
And they do a lot of training. And their whole drumbeat is customer loyalty. And he said something, he told an anecdote.
What if that customer's an asshole?
Well, he told an anecdote of a store employee.
Not implying that you're an asshole.
Well, we know I am. He told them an anecdote of a store employee returning a jug of milk that his wife had bought, or maybe mm-hmm. it was his wife brought it back, and just saying, "Hey, we got this milk and it's rotten," and mm-hmm. took it back and they gave her money back, and she went home and told her husband about, you know, that she had taken care of it. He said, "Oh, I didn't buy it there," and then she felt really bad about it. Oh. She went back to the store and said, "Hey, I found out that milk wasn't from here," and he said, "Oh, I know that. I knew that from the brand. We don't carry this brand." And she said, "Well, why would you take it back?" And he said, "I'm not here to win an argument. I'm here to win your loyalty." And that stuck with me because it's such a great, especially in the hospitality business. Mm-hmm. I'm not here to win an argument or a disagreement. I'm here to win your loyalty. Mm-hmm. I kept thinking of that throughout the day. I'm like, my loyalty is worth less than $46 to them. The potential of having a long-term customer who said, mm-hmm. "I will walk away satisfied if you can waive this amount." And she said, "I'll waive half of it." So for $46 more, she could have built loyalty mm-hmm. and a satisfied customer. And she chose, "No, I want the $46. So that was annoying me.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't pissed. I mean, I was irritated.
Yeah. I could tell it was sitting with you.
Yeah. I'm just like, really? That's... So I ended up filling out the contact form on their website, just saying, "You know what, I'm staying here. Here's what happened." I was very matter-of-fact about it, mm-hmm. and I just said I was disappointed that my loyalty was worth less than $46.
Mm-hmm.
I just wanted to let you know that bummed me out. And later that day, I got a phone call in the room. We happened to be there, fortunately, from mm-hmm. one of their customer service people, Stephanie. And if you go on the TripAdvisor site and look at room reviews, mm-hmm. there are a couple people from Downtown Grand that respond to their
mm-hmm.
To reviews,
yeah,
either saying,
which
"Hey,
is good,"
yeah, and they either usually say, "Thanks, appreciate it, and glad you had a good trip," or "I'm sorry you had a bad trip, we'd like to get more information," blah blah blah.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen the name Stephanie on okay. there when I like later on when I went and looked to see how the reviews were. So she called and she said, "Hey, I'm really glad you let me know, because a lot of people don't. They go away mad, we never hear from them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they had an experience below what they expected, and mm-hmm. We weren't able to make it right when we should have."
Yeah.
And she said, I'm really sad. I'm really sorry that you had that happen.
Mm-hmm.
And we're gonna fix your rate."
Mm-hmm.
And I was, again, expecting $23 a night.
Right.
She went above and beyond that. And
you mean knocking off the resort fee?
Yeah, knocking off the resort fee, essentially. She went above and beyond that. And I don't remember off the top of my head what the exact amount was, but it was a few hundred bucks that she knocked mm-hmm. off of our rate. Above and beyond. I was like, that was really cool. I was very impressed with the way that she handled it.
Nice.
So I guess the lesson learned from this is say something.
Mm-hmm.
If you are like feeling like, and don't be a dick about it. I was very,
oh yeah.
I have great respect for hospitality
mm-hmm.
employees and people who have to, so anytime
people who have to deal with me,
if somebody, no, not me specifically, but people who have to deal with customers all day,
mm-hmm.
Because we've been there, we've both worked yeah. retail.
Oh yeah.
So waiters and waitresses and hotel desk clerks, I was mm-hmm. very friendly and very matter of fact.
I am not a people person.
Not
so,
like,
yeah.
not like I've got, I wasn't, I just want to make it clear that I wasn't like trying to.
You weren't trying to scam them. You weren't
no.
trying to be demanding. You weren't being over the top about it, but you.
It was here's the facts. Here's why I'm bummed yeah. out about this. And here's what I think is a reasonable resolution. That was the way I presented it.
Mm-hmm.
So I would say, don't abuse that. I know that there are people who will
oh, yeah.
do whatever they can to
get free stuff.
I don't believe in that. But I believe if you have a legitimate concern or something that you really think is not mm-hmm. right, that it's worth mentioning. And in mm-hmm. this case, I mentioned it twice. You know,
yeah.
But I wasn't really happy with...
And again, mentioning it in a polite
yep.
way.
Yeah. So anyway, I was really happy with the way that they handled it,
mm-hmm.
and I have to give great credit to I don't know exactly what the titles, the people who
customer
handled,
care,
probably something like that. But anyway, it was very nice. Not only that she took care of it, but that she called and wanted to speak with me personally about it,
mm-hmm.
and just said, "You know what? I'm sorry this happened," and an apology goes a long way too.
Yeah,
I think that was the first time I had received an apology for
oh, yeah.
the fact that the room wasn't right.
Yeah, yeah, because when we checked in, it was just like...
She was nice.
Yeah, she was nice, she was polite, but it was just like, there's nothing I can do, so...
Yeah. So, anyway, that's our... The room was perfectly fine. The fact that they did... That they worked it out
mm-hmm.
Was great, and I feel good about that, and I would definitely give them another shot.
Oh, yeah.
So... That is the scoop on that. I still wish I had a room review on that room, though. So maybe we'll give it another shot
someday.
With the same type of room when they're not as
busy.
That's the thing now. The hotel at Downtown Grand is the one aspect of the property that seems to be doing super well.
Mm-hmm.
And we've heard that not only because it was March Madness, but I've heard that they have really high occupancy rates and that they're doing quite well. And in fact, again, here's an unofficial rumor watch. I've heard some rumblings that the management at Downtown Grand would like to build a third hotel tower.
Hmm.
The management and the ownership are two separate things, though. So whether or not the ownership will come through with the money or will okay that, it remains to be seen.
Where would they build it? Would they build it where they were going to have that retail thing?
I don't know. I don't know exactly what the plan would be. And there are a couple different, I mean, conceivably, they could try to get the city to shut down 3rd Street. They've got that. They have the right of way on there. They could do it somewhere there. I don't know that they would do that. They've got parking garages and shit. They could figure something out. I mean, I think they have that parking garage across the street in the no man's land between Fremont Street and Downtown Grand, which would probably be
a good thing. Yeah.
Move the casino over there, too. They'd probably. Yeah. So anyway, I don't know the specifics, but they would like, I've heard that management would like to put in a third tower. Whether or not that will ever happen, who knows.
Mm-hmm.
The rest of the casino.
And the rooms are nice.
Yeah, I like staying there.
Oh, and the one thing about this room.
It wasn't loud.
No. Oh, it was so nice. as far as.
Wow. How's that lung cancer going for you?
Yeah. I'm hoping it doesn't last as long as the last time I had those.
I know you said that last week.
Good God. So, yeah, it was quiet. The pillows are very nice.
Yes, they have good pillows there.
The last time we stayed in this type of room, only one of the bathrooms had been remodeled. And this time, both of them were remodeled.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, they didn't have the crazy... Well, they both had showers. They didn't have the tub thing, did they?
No, the one complaint
yours.
I have.
I like that we split bathrooms. We're in Las Vegas for obvious reasons. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
The one complaint I have about the shower is that they're tiny.
Yeah, it's in a corner, so they're a little bit
and
small.
And they have room. You can definitely see where they would have room to have a little more.
But you have to keep in mind that those rooms in Downtown Grand, because they were using the old Lady Luck footprint, I would imagine that depending on the room type, the shower space may be different in the different rooms, and they're going to buy the shower stuff in mass, so they're all going to be the same size regardless of whether or not some rooms could have a larger shower. That's
point.
The thing there. And like in the other bathroom,
I
don't think there would be room for a bigger shower, so that's probably part of it.
Hmm.
Yes, they're perfectly nice rooms. I've enjoyed staying there. I have, you know.
Oh, and they've upgraded their bath products too.
They've got the same thing as Cosmo, right?
Yeah, CO Bigelow, lavender and peppermint, baby.
You were hoarding product again.
Possibly.
You had me smuggle it like I'm your fucking.
You were
lotion
my
mule.
Product mule.
This is weird.
Like, ooh, I don't have to go to Bath and Body Works for several months now.
So now the casino itself was busy for Downtown Grand. I have to add that context.
Oh, can I go back on the product thing? And I wasn't like a product whore. Like, I didn't have them replenish every day. I was.
No. No, you weren't stealing it off the cart or anything like that.
Or that. Okay. So Downtown Grand, the casino.
Yes. So it was busy for Downtown Grand, which Downtown Grand's casino is often sparse compared to its competition.
Mm-hmm.
It was not sparse, but compared to its competition, it was not as busy.
Not as busy, yeah.
I was happy to see on the weekend nights all the tables were open.
Yeah.
Earlier in the day, not necessarily so,
not
though. And
so
on March
much.
Madness weekend.
You want to have all your, yeah.
Yeah. So, I like the casino still, but we didn't really play there much. I don't think I played there at all now that I think about it.
I don't think I did either.
That was just how it worked out this trip, but nothing against
it. I'd play
the
there
casino.
Again.
I would too.
Yeah. It was hard to find a spot at the bar, which is where I like to play.
Yeah.
So
they were doing all right.
Yeah. But that's good for them because that meant they had a lot of people.
I would like to see this number of people, like Saturday night March Madness number of people.
Mm-hmm.
That's how it should be most of the time.
Yeah.
Because it's not that big of a casino. But yeah, it was, like I said, it was busy for downtown Grand.
Mm-hmm.
So in concert. But if you compared it to Fremont across the street or the D or Four Queens, no, not, yeah, not quite bringing in the people yet. The only weird thing about the hotel, we were in the, I don't know what the tower names there. I can't remember. There's two of them. There's the same one we were in before where you have to walk across a little bridge.
The Skyway.
That goes over Third Street. And that gets you to your tower.
Hyatt Cross, the busy little one way.
The
not so busy.
The previous times we stayed there, the commissary was open. That was where they had that little restaurant mm-hmm. complex on the first floor, and you could take the elevator all the way down or up from that, and just walk out your tower rather than having to go across that bridge
mm-hmm.
every single time. Since there's nothing happening there right now, you can't take that. You can't take the elevator to the first floor. You have to get off on three.
Third. Yep.
That's a little minor.
I did see some people taking a stairway down.
Oh.
Yeah.
Wouldn't you just, oh, I suppose maybe it goes outside because it's a fire exit.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't want to take
it. It looked a little sketchy though. So.
Yeah, those stairways always are. Yeah. I feel like I'm going to trip over somebody sleeping there or something.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe Jerry.
Or some urine or something.
Jerry could be sleeping there trying to get a few wings.
Oh.
Nobody suggested.
Yeah, were there any stairways in the thread?
Nobody suggested a stairwell. That's good. I like that. Jerry, if you're listening, I know you are, just curl up on a fire exit stairway in
you
a hotel.
The alarm might go off when you try to get back in, but.
Or probably when you're trying to get out.
That.
That's okay. By that time, you're ready to leave town anyway. All right. What else? Anything else on Downtown Grand? We ate at Freedom Beat one mm-hmm. more time. I don't want to give a full review because we've been there before. We had breakfast, basic stuff. I don't mm-hmm. know, omelet or something. And
yep.
Some it was eggs. Good.
Yeah. Biscuits.
It's a viable breakfast option.
Yes.
I have no complaints about
yeah.
it either. And it's not busy because it's Downtown Grand. Mm-hmm. And the, yeah. other than the hotel, not always busy.
Yep.
So.
It's like, I want eggs. I want them now. Let's go here.
Yeah.
They had... Yeah, good service was good.
Yep.
The only complaint you had was how my orange juice
oh,
was
that's
served.
Right. Okay, so you guys have heard many times my irritation with orange juice or any sort of beverage showing up in a mason jar. Obviously, I've grown used to that enough where I'm not going to complain about it every time. I will to the person sitting next to me, which is usually you.
Mm-hmm.
But I completely
mason jars.
I completely expect it now. This time, however, your orange juice showed up in a fucking milk bottle. Is that what it was?
It was like a baby bottle.
Sick.
Like a glass baby bottle.
At
with
least it
the,
didn't have a nipple
oh
on it.
Oh, God, I know.
I think I don't know if I tweeted it or Instagrammed
it. You Instagrammed it.
Like, we're doing this now?
Mm-hmm.
It's just, what is wrong with a fucking glass? I don't, it's like, oh, this place serves their beverages in a little bottle. I got to come back. It's not as.
Maybe they had extra from the baby bottle wine place and they got them cheap.
I don't know. It's just, it's nonsense. I don't understand it. Okay.
Mm-hmm. You don't
anyway.
Like kitschy glassware.
No, it does. Like, it does not add anything to the experience.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing.
I like beautiful glassware. I like retro, cool shit.
Yeah.
As long as it's functional.
Much like I don't know. Okay, so yeah. I'm done with that. All right, let's do a couple other restaurant reviews. In fact, since we're talking about breakfast, let's jump ahead to Magnolia's.
Yes.
We tried Magnolia's, which is the cafe at Four Queens, for the first time.
Ever.
And yeah, first time. We've almost tried it one other time, but there was a line. We didn't feel like waiting. We went somewhere mm-hmm. else.
I think from our experience, the line looks longer than...
Would be worth it.
Yeah. But the line looks longer than it is because...
The stairs.
There are stairs, and the desk is right at the top of the stairs.
It's a pretty big
the
space, too.
The hostess stand, I mean.
I was surprised at how large it was up
yeah.
there.
Yeah, yeah.
So anyway, we finally tried this, and this was largely based on some comments on the Facebook group. Somebody mm-hmm. said that it reminded them of the Victorian room at Barbary Coast. I'm mm-hmm. like, really?
Mm-hmm.
I'm intrigued by this, and
tell
I want to try it. So we finally gave it a shot. For whatever reason, I expected this to be kind of like the cafe at the Fremont, which is perfectly fine. The reason we've gone there a couple times is because the room is so cheesy and kitschy.
Mm-hmm. I love the decor in the room.
But the food's not great.
No,
it's fine.
It's fine. But it's not.
But here's the it's
rave worthy.
Like, I usually get an omelet for breakfast, and the omelet at Fremont is a lazy omelet, by which I mean, if you order your omelet with cheese, there's gonna be a Kraft single melted over the top. That's how it is. It's like, it's a, mm-hmm. it's the lowest quality, not the lowest quality. That's not the way to put it. But it's like, fucking get some grated cheese. Get some actual cheese. Those things. Mm-hmm. That's not even cheese. I don't know what the fuck that shit is. It's cheese product. But anyway, you get a good the omelet at Magnolia's. Mm-hmm. Big ass omelet, fresh tasting ingredients, delicious. I was very impressed. The service was really fast, really friendly. It wasn't that busy when we went. I would say add this to my downtown breakfast options and mm-hmm, maybe another meal too. I haven't even looked at their menu for others. They had a big menu as far as choices, which mm-hmm, I liked. And we should have tried it sooner. Yep. I will slap myself in the hands for assuming things about this place mm-hmm, that I should not have assumed.
Although, we've stood in a long line for Fremont before, though.
Yeah, but that wasn't intentional. It wasn't a long line. It was just a long wait.
Yeah.
It was just us, but there was...
But it was like a 20-minute wait.
So I don't know that I'd wait for a super long time. Yeah. But I would add
it to the list.
Yeah. And you had... Did you have pancakes?
Yeah, I did.
Were they decent?
They were good.
Good.
They weren't, you know...
They're not... No, that place is no longer around. We're going to quit even mentioning the bars.
But... They were good.
They were good.
They were serviceable.
All right.
They filled my need.
Better than the Siegel's 1941 at El Cortez?
Don't get me started on those fuckers.
See, that's another place that just has the fucking slab of cheese melted on the top. Lazy omelet. Ugh.
Well, given their pancakes, I am not surprised.
No, exactly. Okay.
What they served was a disservice to pancakes. I've said it before. I'll say it again.
There you go.
But Magnolias.
Give it a shot. If you are looking for a new breakfast place,
prices were really good.
Yeah, and they have discounts for different card levels, I think, mm-hmm, and they've got some specials.
We had
specials
a nice view. We had a booth looking over the casino, so that was nice.
I liked it.
Service was really good.
Yep.
Very friendly.
Yep.
Very fast.
Yep. So there you go. It's a decent option if you're looking for a breakfast place. One more restaurant review and then a quick bar review and then we'll wrap it up. So there's a new, we mentioned this when it opened, there's a new dining option, outdoor dining option in Las Vegas, downtown on Fremont Street. It's called Project Barbecue. I thought initially it was located in an alley. It kind of is, but it's not really an alley.
Mm-hmm.
The empty block of stuff that that Derek Stevens bought that is awaiting some sort of development included a gift shop. The gift shop is no longer there, but the gate to the gift shop is. I don't know what the hell they did here. It's like they tore the whole place out except for the front gate because it's open air. You walk in there and there's no roof on the place. And they have a food truck parked in there.
Yeah.
So beginning at 11 a.m. every day.
Maybe the gate is so they can lock it up at night not have to move the damn truck every time.
Yeah, the truck is wedged in there. They're not moving that thing every night. They're just bringing the food to the truck. Project Barbecue. So 11 a.m. it opens. It's open all day. And they've got like AstroTurf and some high top tables.
Yeah.
It's a little, they've got some lights strung up. It's kind of kitschy, but it's not super fancy. It's just a food truck.
It's a place to set your food.
Yes, and that's all you need.
Mm-hmm.
So you walk up to the food truck, you order your food, they give it to you. Here's what they have on the menu. And they do have specials occasionally, so in addition to their regular menu, every once in a while they'll throw something different on there. The core offerings, however, this is near Las Vegas, between Las Vegas Club and the Glitter Gulch Mermaids stuff that's all closed. They have three different sandwich options, barbecue brisket, barbecue pulled chicken, and barbecue pulled pork. They have an option to add beer and cheese sauce, and it's served with coleslaw as well. They also have a garbage bowl that is potato chips with, I spelled meats wrong. With all of the meats that they offer, all three of the meats, as well as slaw and the cheese sauce and bacon bits. There's another option for project chips, which are just chips with the cheese sauce and bacon bits. They've recently, so this kind of happened while we were there. They just opened maybe a week or two before we were there. The owner of the place was, and I think we might have met him.
Yeah.
In a drunken state at the D the night before.
What? No, not us.
But when we went and ordered our food, he was wandering around talking to, which the service, everybody's super friendly.
Yeah, yeah.
And there's only like three or four people working at a time because it's a small place. And he was wandering around asking everybody how their food was. And... he had a big loaf of bread in his hands. The thing was probably 3 feet long, 3 feet long, and just saying, hey, what do you think of this idea? And his idea was, and it came about from somebody, I think it was after they had run out of bread. They were shutting down, but somebody wanted a sandwich, and he said all that he had was this giant loaf of bread. So he had this huge loaf of bread and said, what do you think of us offering a $100 sandwich on this loaf of bread and have it be like an eating challenge thing? And I'm like, hey, you know, there have been all kinds of other ideas that have been much worse that have been successful. And he said half the stuff on our menu has come about from just mistakes. Throwing all the meat on top of the chips was just a whim, and it was very successful for us. So, and other people seem to be like, yeah, it's kind of neat. Mm-hmm. Well, within a day or two, he was offering this $100 sandwich. I think it might have been that night. And he sold like five of them. And it was groups of people coming in and eating them. So if you look at their Facebook page, they have pictures of all these people coming in. And it looks like they also throw a bunch of other stuff on the side, too. Like maybe, I don't know if it's the chips or just a bunch of additional stuff. So
what do you think? Okay. Because we, didn't we stop in there? St. Patrick's Day or Saturday of March Madness?
Yeah, yeah, sometime around there.
We're like, oh my gosh, all the drunk people wandering around Fremont looking for food.
Yeah.
Do it, dude.
Yeah. And he's been, it looks like from the Facebook page, they've been selling a ton of them, or a bunch of them at least, to make it worth. It's kind of a sticky thing. He'll thank people for joining their 100, I think, like their Benjamin's Club.
Oh,
yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. So that's also a menu option. If you want to go in there with a group, you can get a $100 sandwich and probably all eat very well. The food was really good.
It was
delicious. You had the brisket, correct?
Yes.
And you enjoyed it?
Oh, yeah.
I had the pulled pork. Very delicious.
Did you have any of the extra sauces?
I did not.
Okay.
No, but I do want to go back. I want to try the garbage chips.
Mm-hmm.
Give me some good homemade potato chips with all the stuff on it.
Yep.
I think I'd like that a lot.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't have my receipt. I forgot to pull out my receipt. I think it was probably like... Was it $10 a sandwich or a little less than that, maybe?
Yeah. It wasn't more than 10,
I'm pretty sure. It was not super expensive, and the food was really good. And
high quality, delicious.
Quick in and out, but definitely worth stopping by. If you've been looking for some decent barbecue downtown, it is a nice option. I would highly recommend giving it a shot if you're craving that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So I hope they do all right.
I do too.
It's nice to have something in there since that end of Fremont Street is kind of quiet these days.
Mm-hmm. I love a good barbecue too. Oh my God.
Me too. I get that craving once in a while. Mm-hmm. And this certainly filled it. So kudos to them. All right. Finally, very, very quick comments on one of the bars in the Fremont East Entertainment District called Red. This opened a few months back, and at night it's kind of a dance club thing. Like they have 80s nights and different theme nights. And during the day, it's kind of a sports bar. They've got a ton of... Are you okay?
Yeah.
Wow.
I was trying to suppress it.
I appreciate you trying. You're having a rough night.
Yeah.
Anyway, so during the day, they have a lot of big screens. They're showing sports. And we were in there during the day. We took a break from the madness of March and wandered down to East Fremont. And we decided, let's have a drink in this place and check it out since we've seen it. And
since we were thirsty.
To some extent, kind of mocked it.
Yeah.
And we're thirsty. And the reason we've kind of mocked it is because when we poked our heads in before and just looked, and also based on the banner outside.
It's shanty.
It looked...
There's not a lot of effort going on there.
I would say that our... having drinks there confirmed those impressions, wouldn't you say? It looks like they put a coat of paint on insert coins, which it was previously. And that was about it. And maybe slapped up a few more video screens.
Yeah.
And that's about it. The video games aren't in there anymore, obviously. But it feels like somebody put up a bar in their garage. Don't you think?
Mm-hmm.
Not
a lot of atmosphere, decor. No.
What I would say it has going for it is, if you're looking for a quiet place.
Yeah.
And they had,
you need to hold a conversation somewhere.
Yeah, they had games on, so it wasn't like super quiet, but
it was a good place to watch March Madness.
Yeah, because there weren't that many people in
there.
I would imagine maybe at night when they have the dance stuff going on, it's a whole different vibe, but still it's like it has the type of floors where it feels like it's kind of like Ellis Island. And I always joke about Ellis Island that the floors are like that so they can hose them off at the end of the night and just get rid of the blood. It feels kind of like that. And that's probably...
Except not as stabby.
No, it doesn't feel as stabby. Insert coins, I mean, that's how... I don't think that place was carpeted or anything.
No.
It's probably the same thing, but...
But you didn't notice it because of all the...
There's more stuff in there.
Stuff in there.
Yeah. I don't see it lasting long at all.
I did enjoy my beverage. I had an Irish iced coffee.
Yeah, they had a couple specials for St. Patrick's Day.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I had some sort of Irish whiskey thing.
You had Irish whiskey with a chaser.
Did we do shots?
You did shots.
Oh, yeah, I did a shot. And then they had, you know how sometimes when you're at a bar and they'll have representatives from a liquor company handing out free stuff? They had these two poor women from Captain Morgan handing out. I got a couple beer koozies, and they were handing out some other promotional stuff. But I felt bad for them because there wasn't anybody there to talk to.
Yeah.
So somebody would walk in, they'd hand them something. Oh, thanks. And I don't know. It was just probably not the greatest promotional gig in the world to be sitting in the saddest bar on Fremont Street.
Were they giving out shots? Maybe we did do shots.
Maybe when we walked in, we got a little, it wasn't a full shot. No. It was like a little sampler thing.
No. Yeah.
I don't know. But, you know, I'd go in there for a quiet beverage sometime, but it's certainly not a destination where I'm like, oh, I got to get back to that place.
Yeah.
Yeah. I feel kind of bad for it.
I do too.
But they didn't. It feels like they just put no effort into opening the joint. Mm-hmm. And I know when we reported on this previously, well, good morning, Max. When we reported on this previously, the owners had said that it was kind of, they're planning on evolving it where they just wanted to get it open and then they were going to
figure, so far it has not evolved.
They're going to figure things out as they went. And that's never a good, I remember saying, but it's not a good way to run a business. You might not have time to make changes because it might not last that long.
Yeah.
So there you go. That's red. I can't recommend it as a destination, but if you're walking by and just want a drink, it might be a place to stop in for no other reason other than there's always going to be a place to sit.
Yeah. The drinks were good.
The drinks were fine. The bartender was nice enough, but yeah, not a lot to get me there.
Yeah.
All right. So with that, that's it. That's it from our March trip. Can you think of anything else that we missed? I think those are the highlights from the last several weeks. And I have to say, of all of our trips in the last few years, I think I had more fun recapping this stuff and talking about it and reliving it again than I have in a long time.
Good.
Like I remember there's a guy I used to work with a long, long, long time ago who, right when we first started going to Vegas, he was a big Vegas fan. And he would say, oh man, the reason I love to go to Vegas is because there's all the anticipation before you go. And that's like the first part of your trip, that build up, and then you have the actual trip, which is great. He said, but then when you get back, you've got all these memories and all these things you can relive. So it's kind of like you're getting three for one in a way. And you know, it can be that way with anywhere you're really excited about going. But man, this trip, more than any,
the anticipation for this trip for me was huge.
Well, same thing there. Because we had the cool room and we knew it was going to be different and we're going to be eating at some new places. There was a lot more build up than we've had in the past.
Yeah.
Recently in the past. I think some of our earlier trips, the first few years we went, were different because those were all ridiculous amounts of planning for things we would never do. Well, we still make lists of things we're not going to do, but getting coupons online and all this crazy nonsense in anticipation just because I'm so excited I'm going, I have to do all this. This trip was kind of like that in a different manner.
Yeah.
But for me, coming back now and talking about it on these shows has been just, it's bringing a lot of it back, and not just the Cosmo thing, which was fun, but even this downtown stuff. It was really a fun trip, and I continued, that fucking city runs through my blood, I swear. So there you go. That's our March 2017 Las Vegas trip. Thank you for indulging us in all of our reviews. Okay, before we go, we've got a couple karma donations that have come in. There's one that came in from a gentleman, and I know who it is because of his email address, but I'm not going to give his name. He just labeled his name as Self. And I think there's a reason for that because of something he said in the comments, and you never know who's listening to the show.
Right.
He said, giddy thinking about thinking that in a couple days I'll be in my happy space away from my micromanaging boss hole for a week. I was unfamiliar with the term boss hole,
but I like it.
I like it because I had one of those a couple years ago, and I understand exactly what he's talking about. He said, thank you for all that you two do. Thank you very much for the support of the show. We appreciate it. Again, there's that giddiness of anticipation.
Sometimes it's just great to be like, I'm not going to be at work.
Don't you love, and every once in a while we'll be sitting at a bar in Las Vegas on a Tuesday at 10:30 a.m. Having the first drink of the day, or maybe third drink of the day,
or that,
and you'll just turn to me and say, I normally would be at work right now. And it's just this...
and not that I dislike my job.
No, you love your job.
I do enjoy my job,
and I do too. But or a lot of times it's like I would be in a meeting right now. That's the biggest part.
Oh,
so
there were previous jobs where I was like, oh, it's Monday at 9 o'clock, and I am not in that meeting.
Yep. So I totally understand the feelings of this gentleman, and thank you very much for your support. Our buddy who we mentioned previously, Mr. Brian Ibbett, a.k.a. Pinata Massengill, karma donation for his super quick 28-hour extravaganza, which, based on the couple videos I saw, looked like he was having a wonderful time.
Good.
And I'm glad he did that. And it looked, based on what I saw, I saw a video in the morning. He was searching for a breakfast location, and it looked like he was still pretty spry. So
good.
I think he did all right. I know some of the people he was hanging out with retired much earlier in the night. I don't know if they actually had rooms or what, but they disappeared. So kudos to him on doing that. Finally, Sam with a karma donation. He said it was from the airport for a weekend trip. Love the podcast. He congratulated us on our upcoming 600th episode, which we'll be doing in a few weeks. And I promise you this, our listeners, we'll be putting absolutely no special effort into it.
No, we'll just be doing a regular show.
I have absolutely nothing planned for number 600. So that is my 500 promise to you. You'll get the same half-assed show. And I promise I will screw something up like Joe's Crab Shack. Or
somebody's name.
Or El Cortez, and most definitely somebody's name. All right. Thank you all for the support.
Yes, thank
you. We do appreciate it and wish you all the best of luck. So that's it. 500bymidnight.com is our website. 500gmail.com is our email address if you want to send Dear Tim and Michelle questions. Of course, our Twitter names, things. If you want to find us on Twitter, you know where to find us, 500 and Anita Martini. And of course, our voicemail line available to you anytime, day or night. If you have a review or something you want to share, 702-866-9494. We would love to hear from you and hear your thoughts on your Vegas experiences. As always, thank you for listening, emailing, commenting, calling, Facebook grouping, Patreon, patroning, sharing all of your love and being such awesome listeners. We do appreciate it. We will be back very soon with another call. And until then, another call. Or another show.
Another show.
We're going to do the next show entirely via the voicemail line in 9.5-minute snippets with horrible sound quality. No, we will not be doing that. That's number 600. We're going to do that. All right. Have a good week. We'll talk to you next week, probably, assuming we do a show next week, which I think we will. And that's it.
Bye-bye.
Bye.